ho, ho.
Merry Christmas.
And all that.
Green Giant.
Yeah, that's true. Why did the mascot for a brand of vegetables sound like Santa?
Ho, ho, ho.
Green Giant.
I don't know.
Did Green Giant do it first?
Trying to entice kids.
Hang on a second. Santa was green originally, wasn't he?
And he was green.
It was Coca-Cola and German. Red.
Yeah. No, that is an urban myth. Santa had been a variety of colours.
Oh, right.
It kind of all got standardised in about the 1930s.
Oh, okay. Through Coca-Cola or just through
the idea of Santa becoming unionised.
I like the idea that he's all different ethnicities.
Union. Union. Listen,
I'm going to
union.
At all.
I don't want to wear blue uniforms anymore. I'm going to union. We're voting red.
Am I going to have to look up the original ethnicity of St. Nicholas?
No.
Good.
Well, you might have to just for the purposes of this impression that I just very poorly did. You might have to explain who Arthur Scargill is to everyone.
You have to explain who Arthur Scargill is to me.
Is that who that was meant to be?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Right. Arthur Scargill was a union leader for the coal miners in the 1970s and 1980s in Britain who sounded nothing like Chris.
He sounded a bit like that.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No. He was from Yorkshire.
Yeah, union.
Oh, I assumed you were doing something off Coronation Street.
Which isn't from Yorkshire.
No.
So, that's... Chris, you were born south of Watford.
Of course I was.
So you sound like Blur then?
Apparently so.
Gaw blimey, Governor Mary Poppins.
Apparently so.
Because that was about as close. St. Nicholas he's the patron saint of Bari, which I think is in Italy.
It is. Small town in Italy. I think it might be a province as well, actually.
And he was from somewhere in the Roman Empire.
You're listening to Roman Empire likes for geography.
So, yeah, anyway, Santa's
Christmas.
Santa's Italian.
Awesome.
Is he?
Yes.
I wonder who's parking on roofs.
You've been to Rome, that's how they park anyway.
Hang on, he drives once a year at a ridiculous speed and loses most of his load. Of course he drives like an Italian.
I can't remember whether I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I remember watching somebody park in Italy without a word of a lie. He sort of half reverse parked in. And then proceeded to shunt the car in front of him forwards and then reverse and back into the car behind him and just slowly do that until he'd like squished
his car in.
Yeah. And like when he got in it, like you couldn't have fit like, I don't know, a cigarette lighter on either side of the car.
Forceful parking.
Yeah, you could.
There's YouTube channels that you can watch people. There's a British guy who moved to Italy.
Yeah,
and he puts a dash cam on his car when he's driving around.
Yeah,
and all the best stuff he uploads to YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's like 24 minutes of just like of one video of him just driving around a town, and everyone is doing stupid shit.
I think it must be one of those things. You know,
I say
like,
stupid shit in Italy. It's normal.
Yeah, you know, like when you get a new phone and you take it to work, and you or when you take it out and you're so worried about damaging it or dropping it or getting a scuff on it and stuff like that
until before the case arrives.
Yeah, and then you drop it that one time and all of a sudden it doesn't fucking matter anymore. It must be like that, but with cars. If you move to Italy,
I've got a really nice car.
Once you've got one little tiny ding on it, it
doesn't matter. Then
shed.
You just every time you take it out of the house, you take it into battle.
I think you're pretty much doing that anytime.
I've seen you on a night out. That's what you do with your phone.
That's true. I do need to buy a new screen protector on it because my screen protector is all cracked. And God bless tempered screens.
Oh, yes.
You could always just try and be careful.
Or you could ask Santa for a new one at Christmas.
A phone?
Yeah.
No, I can't have a new phone.
Why not?
Because the iPhone 10's are fucking ridiculous.
Does that mean ridiculous pricing? You really, really want one?
I really want one. I really, really, really want one.
But why?
What? Because it's shiny.
Because don't forget, as of this weekend, he is officially one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, now
you're a Pabs
with the MacBook. I think I'm beyond Pabs, to be perfectly honest. Now
he went to America just to get discount Apple. He didn't really.
He didn't. But
we say he went to America.
He didn't, but he did take advantage of it when he was there. I bought an Apple Watch I didn't really want, but I knew it was a bit cheaper because of the exchange rate.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The transformation is now complete.
Yeah, but it's so shiny and everything works well together.
I remain to be convinced.
Everything Apple works with everything Apple.
Yeah, so you just buy everything Apple and you've won.
No, you haven't.
They've won if you buy everything Apple.
No, they just want what's best for us.
Oh, okay.
We love the leader.
Oh wow, I have never been so disturbed in my life.
Did you ever see, you know, the documentary about Apple stuff? I can't remember what it was called. It was like a documentary about Apple fans.
What, people Apple fans?
Yeah, it's quite famous. I can't remember what it was called. I know it was on Netflix for a while.
I think it was it called Fanboys?
It could have been. I can't remember. But they brought the iPad Mini out, and I'm still bemused as to who the iPad Mini's for.
Our friend Kat, who is, well, she says she's 5 foot one, but that's on a really good day when she's wearing 2-inch heels.
Yeah, the iPad Mini is just an iPad, but she's tiny.
No, it's a phone without the capability to call people.
Yes. So, but the thing is, when you've got an iPhone and you've got an iPad, why do you need something just in the middle of the two?
So the transformation isn't completely complete yet because you haven't...
No.
You're not justifying the reasons why you bought one yet.
But this is brilliant because the guy that was queuing up for his iPad Mini on this documentary, they were interviewing the two, and I said, well, why do you want it? He said, not really sure, but Steve Jobs, he always picks things that we don't know we want them until he's put them out. So I'm sure I want it.
So basically,
I don't want it, but I genuinely trust Steve Jobs that thinks he knows what I want more than me.
So Steve Jobs is only creating items that you genuinely want and not just because he wants your money.
That's it.
I see.
So Apple marketing team, well done. You win at life.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got to say, the first time I bought an iPod, it's the first product I've ever bought where the designer of the packaging had a large credit on the actual packaging, on the box.
Oh, no matter what you think of the products, the motherfuckers know how to box things up.
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it, when you buy an Apple product. The only one I've ever bought is an iPod, but I remember when you pick up the box, the underbox slowly slides out.
Yeah.
Very slowly, so you can't damage your new product. Mm-hmm. And then you remove the top bit and it's just there.
Yeah.
Encased perfectly in foam sponge.
And then a host of angels come down and peel the cellophane off the front for you.
No, you can't do that first.
iMac boxes are designed for you to put them on the table where you're going to have it, so you can
and then take the box off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's clever.
It is clever.
It's clever, but it takes all the fun out of getting a box and then realising you need the scissors and then you need to get like an industrial strength staple remover and then moving the cat off the top of it and then pulling all the polystyrene off and then removing the cat from the polystyrene and then having to go at the screen of whatever you've just bought with a dustbuster to get all the individual polystyrene beads that are stuck to the screen with static. And then removing the dustbuster from the cat because it's now chasing you around the room with it.
Have you guys seen that? Well, they've just released the iMac Pro, haven't they? Have you seen that?
iMac Pro.
I probably. Yeah. All the iMac stuff just kind of blends into one.
It's Apple TV, like not Apple TV, but when I see an Apple product on TV, I literally zone out.
In the front of your brain, there's that cow bouncing up and down playing the violin.
Pretty much.
iMac Pro, if you go into it and just click every box and go, I'll have that. Costs just under 52 grand.
What?
Wow.
Let that sink in. £52,000 for a personal.
That's also quite clever, the whole sort of configuration thing. Configure your own iMac.
Well, these are the pros are like professional workstations. They're not meant for me.
Yeah. But
bing.
But the whole configuration thing, you get that with cars. Like you can go onto a car dealer websites and they'd be like, configure your new BMW 3 Series.
Yeah.
What colour leather stitching do you want?
Do you know what the shit thing is about that? if it's like when you see, you know if you get in somebody's car, it's a really nice car, but then you see that plastic button, like the little like molded plastic square on the dashboard somewhere, which you know there should be something there.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the blank yeah. button.
The blanked off part.
It should be heated seats, or it should be aircon,
or it should be traction control.
And basically, all that is a getting your own car that you just haven't worked quite hard enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that entirely. Yeah, all of the buttons, all of the time.
So does that mean whenever you turn any of your devices on, you see that little Apple logo? That's a reminder to you that your credit card bill's due any time.
Absolutely.
So we're coming up to Christmas, or for some listeners, it could be Christmas already. What have we all got planned?
Just Christmas stuff, family, yeah, not family very things. Much. No,
food. Not a lot. I'm working right up to this Friday, and then foolishly work booked a Christmas party on the Friday,
on Black Eye Friday.
Yeah,
Black
why?
Eye Friday. Oh, excellent.
Everybody knows that if you go out the Friday before Christmas, people have fights.
Well, a lot of work dues were done last week, so you probably find it's quite quiet.
Yeah, no, but it's that's all everybody out. That's everybody social, going out on the piss after their last day at work to get hammered and get hammered or hammer.
Yeah,
you know, it's one night. It's one night of the year I just do not like going out.
It can't be a localised thing either, can it? It's got to be everywhere else in the world.
Oh God, yeah.
At least in the UK.
Yeah, definitely. When I lived in Leeds, it was just stay out of town.
Yeah,
because there will be fighting.
Mm. Is that just Leeds in general?
No, it was the same in Halifax.
Oh, fair enough.
That was just fighting in general. Halifax was the first ever place I saw fight fall out of a pub and carry on in the middle of a road.
Oh, that actually happened. I thought that only happened in like EastEnders.
EastEnders or Western films.
Yeah, that way. Yeah, Western films.
Yeah, you know, where the barroom brawl kicks off and they just roll through the doors and carry on fighting into the street.
Nice.
This happened in a pub in Halifax. This fight just... I was on the other side of the road, just saw this fight bundle out of the door. There was about 9 or 10 people in it. I couldn't tell you how many sides there were in this fight. It could have been 2, it could have been 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And it just carried on in the middle of the road.
Was it one of those, like, balls of dust that occasionally a fist would come out of, or a foot?
It really should have been.
And occasionally you saw the word pow.
Yeah, that's what it needed to be. Then I found out that the pub that this happened in was so classy... It was where Paddy Kenny, the goalkeeper for Sheffield United.
Yeah.
And occasionally Northern Ireland. He was in a fight in that pub one night and had half his eyebrow bitten off.
That's why he looks the way he does. Fair enough.
I was doing a gig in a pub in London once, and some guy came in with a machete looking for somebody.
Ooh.
A stabby bum.
Mid-gig.
Yeah.
Did he find him?
I don't know. The police grabbed him. There was a kerfuffle.
Whereabouts in London was that?
Camden.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool and not cool all at the same time. Cool, you played in Camden. Yeah. Not cool, man walked in with machete.
We did too. We only did that as a thing as well, because we went to play Dublin Castle. That was where we were actually going to play.
Mm.
And then we just slammed in another quick gig. At the same time.
You know, the head bouncer at Dublin Castle used to be Manx in-law.
Did he really?
Yes. Well, he still is Manx in-law. He's just not head bouncer at Dublin Castle anymore. Cool. It's Nick Saunders, his brother-in-law.
Oh, there you go.
But I can't remember what the pub was where we played, but it was a right dive to the point where, after that happened, me and Jeff slept in the van with the gear.
One of them gigs.
Yeah.
I once saved someone's life on Camden Tube Station platform.
Oh,
well,
good.
I helped.
You helped save a life.
Yes, this guy was in the process of splitting up with his girlfriend.
And he tried to jump
And he
off the
tried
platform.
To throw himself in front of a tube. And I dived at him to stop him from one side, and his girlfriend grabbed at him from the other, and we managed to sort of avoid him jumping onto the tracks just as the train was coming into the station.
Oh, okay.
She then took off a shoe and leathered him with it, and...
They went home. Yeah.
It was very strange.
Crazy.
Apparently, now I don't know this, and I'm not willing to find out, you shouldn't jump onto the tracks at any point, because quite often there's high voltage electricity going through.
Yeah, they're live.
Yeah, they're live, and quite often there's enough electricity in the tracks to just kill you anyway.
Mm. Mm. I mean, there are stories of people pissing on tube tracks, and
that's a myth.
Yeah,
it's an urban myth, isn't it?
Yeah,
is that a myth? Because pissing on an electric fence does work.
Yeah, they
not through a personal
experience. I was just about. What was that Ren and Stimpy sketch? Dope was on the electric fence. Yeah.
They tried to do it on Mythbusters and busted the myth.
Did they? Yeah. On electric train tracks?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Just as well, really, isn't it? You wouldn't want to be trying to myth bust that and suddenly find out it's true.
They use mannequins and fake penises. No real penises were hurt in the
programme. Mythbusters is one of the best programmes, isn't it?
Oh, my favourite one on there is the time that proved that you could polish a turd.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that.
Did they
freeze it?
I think they froze it in
liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, and then coated it in
carnauba wax,
some kind of metallic dust, and then
so they rolled it in glitter.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then baked it to harden the glitter after they'd frozen it, and then buffed it, polished.
You can polish a turd.
Yeah,
it just takes a little bit more work than...
You have to really want it.
It just takes a little bit more work than Salva's willing to put in.
Hey, wrong show. One thing I was going to say tonight. Anyone got any bizarre Christmas traditions? Or Christmas traditions that other people would think bizarre?
No, I didn't realise this until a couple of years ago, but my family always only ever got pickled onions in at Christmas. And people are like, you can eat pickled onions all year round. I'm like, can you? I'm like, pickled onions, what, in the summer? I'm like, yeah, you can eat pickled onions in the summer. I was like, why would you do that? It's a Christmas food, surely. So, yeah, that was one of the things that I grew up with, which is normal to me, but weird to everyone else.
So would you, like, see them in the supermarket in summer and think, oh, God, Christmas food's in the shops already?
No, I can't ever remember thinking
it's getting earlier every year.
It's March. Why are the pickled onions in the shop?
What about, onions, like, Space Invaders?
Oh, that's crisps. That's different. Yeah. pickled onion Monster Munch. Everybody knows the best.
No, Bruce Beef's the best Monster Munch.
No, that's a lie.
No, it's a fact.
No, it's pickled onion these days because it's changed the flavour on the roast beef and they're not as nice as they used to be.
But they're still nicer than pickled onion.
Nope, sorry, you're wrong.
No, that's a lie.
And pickled onion Space Raiders are better than pickled onion Monster Munch.
Oh, no, that's contentious. That might be a thing.
I miss the cheeseburger flavour Space Raiders. They were terrible, but they were great.
And tomato ketchup flavoured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally inedible.
Yeah,
made with absolutely no food whatsoever.
No. Yeah, your nutritional value of a tomato ketchup pack of Space Raiders is zero.
You'd be healthier eating the bag.
Probably.
100% of your daily foil allowance.
Well, talking of being unhealthy, at Christmas we're all going to eat too much, aren't we, and drink a little bit too much?
Sounds about right.
Not really a big drink at Christmas, to be fair.
No?
No.
Rest of the year.
Yeah, rest of the year.
Just not Christmas. I tend not to get drunk on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like getting drunk Christmas Eve as well. I did that once and fucked Christmas.
No, worst thing ever. Oh. Christmas Day with a hangover. No thanks.
Fucked it right in the mouth.
My first Christmas Day hangover, it got made worse.
Was this when you got dragged from one place to another?
I got dragged the length of England because of a hangover. I'm sure I talked about this last year. Yes, yeah, I've still not forgiven my mother for that, and I don't think my mother's ever forgiven me for it either. Christmas Day, you just get a nice background level of a little bit of alcohol down you.
You just
keep topping it up all day.
I generally don't have a drink until about 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, but you don't usually get up until about 6.
I get up 6 o'clock, 6 in the morning every morning, even at weekends.
I tend to get up quite early on Christmas Day just because it's Christmas Day and
you
want to
see
the whole
bean,
day in
don't
bed.
You?
Yeah,
I want to see if Santa's been.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see if he's left his footprints in the snow.
Yeah.
And, you know,
see if my trap worked.
And where the hell did that snow come from? It was raining when I went to bed.
Santa is magic, isn't it?
I don't know, because over here, if it snows on Christmas Day, you still get all the locals moaning on Facebook saying, the school's shut, the bus is running.
There's a running joke now, isn't there, with one of the guys who used to be a radio presenter, news presenter, and he's now a publican. He now runs a pub in the north of the island. And any time that one flake of snow drops, loads of people are on his Facebook page. What's happening with the schools? Which roads are closed? It's become a joke. It's become a thing. Every time it snows. Ben, what time are the schools closing tomorrow?
I hope we get more snow. I enjoyed that snow.
It lingered a little bit too long.
I could have done without the icy frozen over bits, especially last Tuesday when I had to try and negotiate the north face of your garden path to retrieve the hard drive that I left here with the show on last week.
Well, it's your fault. You shouldn't have come around the black run, should you?
Yeah, I should have got
always go with the green run.
Yeah, I should have got the training route and had a responsible adult with me.
The worst bit for us though was when we went to the cash and carry, and their car park was just ice, and we've got this trolley full of alcohol and energy drinks, very heavy, just pulling us across the car park like some kind of
just deciding it was going where it wanted
to go. It's going. You're holding my bar, so you're coming with me.
Well, the day after the big snow, maybe 2 days after, I can't remember. I was going to go to work, and I got as far as going to B&Q. Now, B&Q, for our American listeners, where would be B&Q?
Home Depot.
Yeah.
We've already had this conversation. Right. I've already had to explain on Twitter what it is.
Yeah.
Big DIY warehouse.
I'm not being fucking funny, but if anywhere's car park should have been fucking gritted, it should have been B&Q's. They had bags of salt outside, and the car park was a fucking ice rink.
So they had the salt, they just hadn't.
Yeah, I nearly hit the car in front of me when I was trying to park, because my car just started slowly sliding towards it on the ice.
What, you thought you were Italian?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes.
Well, he's got a beard. He could be Father Christmas.
Could be.
It's not grey enough, though, is it? My dad could be Father Christmas.
That has been mentioned many, many, many times as long as I've known your dad.
I'm not sure. No, he's not.
He's not white. He's silver.
That's he's not jolly enough either.
He's definitely not jolly enough.
No. You only see him jolly once a year.
Well,
it was a Tuesday this year, wasn't it?
I don't know. I just want to know what you've been doing to cheer my dad up.
Telling him all your deepest, darkest secrets.
Every time I see him, it's like
anybody up.
I usually see him in ShopRite. I'm like, all right, how you doing? All right. That's pretty much all I get out of him. A nod and a all right.
Grumpy man.
Yeah. Talking of making people grumpy, are we going to annoy everyone this year at the annual Christmas Eve movie and curry night by making a certain person whose name I'm not allowed to mention, Dan's girlfriend, watch Die Hard again?
And why, it is a Christmas movie.
She is militantly against the idea that Die Hard is a Christmas film, because apparently guns are not festive.
Well, no, but who decided that reindeer were festive?
Fuck knows.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola.
And what about some nasty old man in the South Pole having a sweatshop and forcing little people to make toys?
That
so
is
he
the meaning of Christmas.
So he
right
can
there.
He can run around acting Johnny Big Bollocks.
Did I not comment on this on the other day? And
I think
Sean
yes.
agreed with me straight away. It was like if a tale of a man in a position that he thought was good that turns out to be bad, and then he has to go through the whole rigmarole of redemption and then bringing a family together again, is not a Christmas movie.
Mm.
You got a lot of Christmas movies which suddenly are no longer Christmas movies.
And to be perfectly honest, the best Christmas film is Batman Returns.
And also, what was the plot that I just described there? Man who thought he was in a good position, turns out he's actually in a bad position, has to fight evil and eventually convince people that he's doing the right thing, and finishes with redemption and bringing a family together. That's the plot of what
it's
film?
It's Kindergarten Cop, isn't it?
No, it's Miracle on 34th Street. But it could also be Die Hard.
Yeah.
So, no, because the one that you should be talking about is person on his own, separated from his family at Christmas, has to use his own ingenuity to take down, physically where needed, dangerous criminals that are a threat to his liberty. Home Alone.
Oh.
Home Alone, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but then again, she is the kind of person that claims that Cool Runnings was a Christmas film, which is set
think,
in the Winter Olympics, which has never been
that.
Earlier than February.
No, Cool Runnings is not a Christmas film.
No, it's cold. No. It's got ice in it.
Yeah, she's also a firm believer in Frozen being a Christmas film.
No,
as well.
It's not a Christmas film.
No, because it's got ice in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, Jesus Christ.
So it's a Christmas film everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah. I suppose anything with Jesus Christ in it's festive.
No, Passion of the Christ was about Easter. That Mel Gibson one that, you know, everyone that's not Catholic, they can fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hang on, sorry, that's all these films these days, isn't it?
Passion of the Christ sounds like a porn parody.
I did tell you the Flesh Gordon story.
Flesh. Not flesh for every one of us, please.
But no, we'll be doing the usual watching one good Christmas movie, one bad Christmas movie, and eating curry on Christmas Eve.
The porn parody is Passion of the Christ, Come All You Faithful.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been lowered a notch by by your total shunt.
I don't know where to go from that. Apart from to say that hopefully we'll be watching Santa with Muscles this year. Try and find a porn parody of that, because it is a Hulk Hogan film.
Santa with Muscles.
Yeah.
Is that a new film?
No, it's I think it's early 90s.
Mm. We managed to watch about 5 minutes of it last year, didn't we? And it's basically 5 minutes of him fighting a hedge.
Oh, really? Right. If it was in the 90s and had Hulk Hogan, I've seen it.
It's out there on YouTube. That's the only copy I could find of it, that somebody's actually uploaded the whole film.
I'd probably
YouTube.
Watch that in a cinema, I'd imagine, at some point.
There was another Christmas wrestling crossover that might be on the list if I can get hold of a copy in time, which is called Santa's Slay. Slay spelled S-L-A-Y, starring Bill Goldberg.
I've seen that.
And
Paige in it?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think so.
Any good?
Probably not, I can't remember.
Hang on, it's a film with a wrestler in it. Which, of course, means that every film is terrible these days, because you're now not allowed to make a film in Hollywood without a cameo appearance, at least from The Rock.
Who's turning into an all right actor after many films.
But I do think...
He's had enough bloody practice.
Does anyone else not think it's terrifying that he said the other day that he's... like legitimately thinking about running for president?
Well, do you know what? I can kind of understand where he's coming from a little bit with this, because he used to think, people always used to call for Rocky for president. Oh, that's pretty funny. But now he sees who is president, and he always used to think, oh, I'm really underqualified to be president. I couldn't be a politician. Now he's sitting there thinking, you know what? I could do that job.
I think,
and the people would vote for me.
Well, the thing is, Joe Rogan has a good thing about this. He always says that it's really weird. Every 4 years, America has a popularity contest to see who's the leader of the free world.
Which is, that's pretty much how it works. Yeah, whereas, you know, British elections aren't quite like that, are they? British elections are a lot more boring and very formal.
Well, this is all, it's a set of bad precedent for everywhere, I think.
Well, no, Britain has an election every 5 years.
Bad president, did you just say, sorry?
Yeah, Britain has an election every 5 years to find out who is going to get stabbed in the back by their own political party and kicked out of office for...
And also who looks like a twat when eating a bacon sandwich. That's always a
big point. See, that's crazy, the fact that Ed Miliband was taken down for eating a bacon sandwich.
And he fell off a step,
sorry.
And I think, did he not get Russell Brand to do some of his marketing for him?
The funny thing was, Russell Brand spent the whole election period telling people not to vote. Then where it seemed like he actually thought about what he was doing and thought, oh shit, we're going to end up with fucking Cameron here. It's on the two sides of it, I think you're always better with a Labour government. And he said, right, no, vote for fucking Ed on the last day. And he had an interview with Ed Miliband where 24 hours before the vote seemed to get his fucking message in order, and you were watching going, actually doesn't seem like a bad dude. And I think after this, I don't think he does look like a bad dude.
It's just that the press took him down beforehand. Not good in public situations, apparently, according to the press.
It's not ideal for a leader of men.
Not really, no.
But at least he didn't fuck a pig. Which, ironically, like I say, he was taken down from eating the bacon sandwich. And
the bacon sandwich wasn't eating him.
Yes.
apparently it wasn't fucking a pig. It was just in its mouth. Now...
You can fuck something in the mouth. You can definitely fuck in the mouth.
I'm
quoting Bill Clinton here. That's not technically fucking. That's the excuse that Clinton used.
Hang on. This was Bill Clinton who went, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And then 2 weeks later said, I did have sexual relations with that woman. Come on.
Yeah, I was just saying that he was using the same excuse as Clinton.
For 2 weeks. Before somebody pointed out to Bill that that might be classed as sexual relations, you know.
Did they not in that time as well, like, find his jizz on her dress or something like that?
Was that would have been the phone call with, like...
I mean, how did they know it was his? Can you just...
test it. They would have done the old...
Could you just, into the cup for me there, please, but Mr. That, President?
That must have been, the conversation between him
Here's
and his advisor.
Here's a magazine, because your wife is Hillary.
It's him and his advisor going, Bill, it's fine. It's a blowjob. Don't worry about it. It's your word against hers. You're the President of the United States. Everyone quite likes you as well. What do you mean you're into shooting it there? Why can't you do it on your own curtains like the rest of us?
Don't you have that one sock?
Poor Bill.
I think we will leave it there. Dan says happy Christmas to everybody in his absence. He can't be with us tonight. He claims he's ill, but just watch for any major political changes in the world over the next sort of week.
Christmas
and
period.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and if your Christmas presents don't arrive on time, you'll know who he's taken down.
Yeah.
Take the shot.
So have a great Christmas from all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Please do. And look after each other and, yeah,
don't,
just be awesome.
Don't be dicks.
Yeah,
basically. I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, be as long as if you're doing it like chasing humour, be a dick then.
So listen to Must See Audio.
Because most comedy comes from being a dick. So
yeah, fair point. We'll leave you with something seasonable to be decided.
Yes.
Drop something off Phil's Christmas album I did the other week.
Ah, yeah, that'll do. This will be a track from
Post-War Stories one. Post-War Stories doing
Each other record at you because Ben and Martin have got a thing.
No, they covered a song, didn't they, for Christmas? I can't remember what they covered either, but they've done a cover and it's awesome. And you're about to hear
I've got it.
But Lee's going to tell us what it is first before we play out with it, and I'm just padding horrifically until
because funnily enough, Lee's Mac isn't fast enough.
Lee's Mac,
no, it's just long. it's long. They're doing The Power of Love.
That's it. The Power of Love,
which isn't a fucking Christmas song.
No. But they turned it into a Christmas song when they made the video, and they just did a video of like the Nativity story.
And they released it at Christmas, and it got to number one.
Yeah, and the band weren't happy with it.
Rage Against the Machine is a Christmas song.
Yeah,
because that was Christmas number one.
In my own personal opinion, like that, their cover of this is just a cut above everything else on that album. I think it's fucking fabulous.
In that case,
let them decide for themselves, Lee.
That is what we'll leave you with, and we'll give you a link to download the full album for free as well.
Yep.
Because that is a thing. So have a great Christmas, and we'll see you for our special show just before New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Down, I'll be around with my undying, death-defying love for you. Envy will hurt itself,
Let yourself be beautiful, sparkling love, flowers and pearls and pretty girls. Love is like an energy rushing, rushing inside of me. Yeah, yeah. The power of love, a force from above, cleaning my soul. Entwined, divine, divine. Love is danger, love is pleasure, love is pure, the only treasure. I'm so in love with you, purge the soul, make love your goal. So